Hi, I'm Aaron Mee, inviting you to tune in for Community Matters on Sunday morning starting at 8:30, brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services. Join us as we talk through issues that matter most to you right here in Warren. 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning, brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services on the greatest hits, 92 Gold.
This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Thank you for joining me for the Community Matters program on 104.3 Kinzu Country and 92 Gold. Joining me on the Community Matters program today is Mary from Western New York Missing and Unidentified Persons. And our topic for today is going to be discussing someone that is from this area that we are looking for right now. His name is Kevin Hornberg. And Mary, you have a lot more information than I do on this situation. So would you mind telling us a little bit more information about Kevin? What I'd like to start with is, when did Kevin go missing? And what area did he go missing from?
Kevin was last seen at his home, where he was last known to reside, on Prendergast Avenue in Jamestown, New York, on November 22nd. And he is a 56-year-old male, has a couple of tattoos. So mostly we are doing searches over in the Prendergast Avenue area.
As far as if people have possibly happened to have seen Kevin, what do these tattoos look like? Or do you know where they might be located on Kevin?
Yes. On his right mid-forearm, he has a cross with a couple lines coming out of the four corners of it. And he also has an unknown tattoo between his pointer finger and thumb. Just one of those small ones, like a lot of families get, kind of thing. They can't tell me exactly what that design is, but we do know there is one there.
Okay. And now, well, one of the other things that I'm curious about is, what is Kevin's eye color? So if someone happens to see him, you know, possibly out in public, or someone that looks like him, they can identify.
Do not quote me, because I do not have that on the flyer like we usually do, but I am pretty sure Kevin's eyes are brown. I also learned this morning as well that Kevin has false teeth, and the family is unsure if he has them with him because he's recently lost a lot of weight due to a coma that he was in a couple months back. So due to some health concerns, he did lose some weight. We do not know if he has his dentures in or out, but that might change his looks from what is on the missing flyer a little bit, because he does have his teeth in there. So we wanted to make sure people were aware of that as well.
You mentioned that he was last seen at his home. Now, is Kevin someone that, from your knowledge, tended to interact with people and go out of his home frequently, or did he tend to kind of stay at home more?
Kevin was more a homebody. If he did leave his home, it was usually to go to the corner store. None of his normal visiting places, such as Robo on that side of town or Tops, have seen him recently. It seems like across the board, his routine abruptly stopped November 22nd. That also included Thanksgiving, which is the first Thanksgiving Kevin has ever missed in 56 years, as well as Christmas now. So, of course, that is extra concerning for the family.
What I'm curious about now is, if people, you know, want to get involved doing more of these searches here, is there a phone number that they can have, or maybe a website that they can go to, you know, check this out, stay up to date, or get into contact with you guys if they wanted to, you know, maybe set up a different time for another search party?
Absolutely. And we also welcome people to do them outside of our regular searches. If you have a printer at home and can print flyers and hang them at your local grocery stores or ground that we can't cover within the weekly searches, because they are shorter, being that it's pretty cold outside. So it's hard to finagle some volunteers out there for 3 hours. So we tried to keep them short and sweet right now. So there's that, as well as they can reach out to us at 716-401-2080. And we also have an anonymous tip line set up that they can email if for any reason they don't want to contact Jamestown Police Department directly at 483-7536. We have an anonymous tip line at wnymissingandunidentified@yahoo.com.
Okay, so that way people, you know, if they possibly have any tips or any ideas, connections, things that they might, you know, be able to put together for this, that would be the best opportunity that they could do it. Would honestly probably be to contact the police directly, but if they're looking to, you know, do that, you can check out wnymissingandunidentified@yahoo.com.
And the family also recently posted a $1,000 reward. If you can lead Jamestown Police Department and give them your name and contact information, and you can lead us directly to Kevin, there is a $1,000 reward, as well as he has no means of transportation. He hasn't used his usual check or tried to cash that this month. So he had no means really to leave state. So we want to keep people focused here in Jamestown, maybe right across the border there in Warren. We don't foresee Kevin making it very far from home.
That makes sense. So people need to be on the lookout. Now, if they're looking, how tall is Kevin?
Kevin is 5'7".
5'7". Okay. And, you know, that's the one thing that people do need to keep in mind, you know. From what we've been talking about, apparently he's lost a little bit of weight over, you know, the past few months. So if people had seen him previously, you know, they should be looking for someone that might be a little bit thinner than what they're used to seeing.
Absolutely. And he also has long brown hair down to about his shoulders and wears glasses as well.
Okay. So people should be looking, you know, mid-50s, 5'7", you know, long brown hair, glasses, likely brown eyes, and at this point probably facial hair, unless he's been shaving it, at which point, you know, we're not too sure yet. But so what I'm curious about is is there anything that, you know, tips wise that, you know, we could probably, what would people be looking for that, you know, might be the best solution to this? Are we hoping to possibly jog people's memory, or, you know, do you think that there's a, you know, someone that might've seen him out somewhere that might know?
We're encouraging everybody to keep an eye, especially if you're in the Prendergast area, being that he did have previous health concerns. We just want to make sure that he didn't possibly endure a medical issue while walking to or from the store. If you live near the Prendergast Avenue area, we are getting permission to search some properties, but there are some that are off limits. So if the people that are refusing either to let us search or don't want us in their yards would check for themselves and just take a peek around. Again, if you can print or hang flyers in your local vicinity, that is also appreciated. But we just want all eyes looking for Kevin. We know he didn't make it very far from Prendergast Avenue. He never has before. He's never left state. But he does have family. He grew up in Stockton. So there's that. But there has been a possible sighting in Olean, New York, and there's been nothing to follow up on that. And that's another part that we really want to push. We are looking for confirmed sightings, which isn't, oh, I don't know, Kevin, I've never seen him, but I think I seen him here. We want you doing your best to take pictures, jot down a nearby address. If you can video record any audio to see what he sounds like, if you get to speak with him, any of those things can help the family confirm that it is Kevin and move us in the right direction so that we don't have people checking all across Chautauqua and Erie counties just because somebody thinks that, you know, he kind of resembles them. Of course, the family is going to know better than any of us. So we are looking for those confirmed sightings, definitely.
That makes perfect sense. So, you know, that is a good reminder for anyone that happens to be able to hear this program right now. If you happen to, you know, see someone 5'7", long brown hair, glasses, brown eyes, and, you know, they're in the area, you're not 100% sure, you know, I would definitely at least go up and talk to him and make an effort to see, you know, who he is to make sure. And if you can verify it, I know, you know, I'm sure his family would really appreciate, you know, getting the information out there. And at least if you can identify that it's not him, that would be good too. You know, I mean, anything.
Yes. And family is concerned that he could be even confused at this point, being that he did come out of a coma a couple months back. I guess he does have a metal plate in his head. He has had traumatic brain injury. And although he was doing good last time they seen him, if he faced any injury or fell down a hill, he might be confused. He might not even know his name is Kevin at this point. So those are things we also need to keep in mind.
Absolutely. That is, you know, definitely really important to keep in mind. So, you know, with that being said, hopefully we can go through and get this information out there and people are able to contribute some of those tips, you know, send in to the email there. And hopefully we can get this, you know, wrapped up and you know, figured out in a good way. Now, yes. One thing that I'm curious about Western New York missing and unidentified persons, How long have you been, doing this and working to help the community in this way? Because this is really a beneficial thing that you guys are doing here for the community.
Thank you. And officially, we started in February of this year. And I would say we've taken on well over 100 cases. Majority have actually been found safe, especially the teenagers. And we do have different teams broke up across Western New York. We're entirely volunteer-based. So it's just community members willing and ready to help look for missing community members. So we have Team Buffalo, Team Niagara Falls, Team Rochester, Team Jamestown, which kind of is Chautauqua County, actually, because we are willing to move out of Jamestown a little bit. And we also even have taken on a couple of cases there from Warren, PA, which we are looking for Damian Sharp still or any information related to him as well.
Wow, that is really interesting that you're involved in so many different things with that. That is, absolutely fascinating. So one thing that I'm curious about is if people were interested in, getting involved with your organization and they wanted to be helpful on that level, what would be the best way to get a hold of you for that? Would it be to use that same email?
Yep, the email, the phone number. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
Awesome. And that would just be Western New York Missing and Unidentified Persons on those social media?
Correct.
Okay, perfect.
Older ones to be forgotten. Those are even more important. The families that have went 10, 15, sometimes 20 years without answers, closure, or even being able to bury their loved one. And we want to assist with that. So if they want to reach out to me, they are more than welcome to, and we'd be happy to help in that effort as well.
Awesome. Well, Mary, thank you for taking the time to be able to join me today. I'm glad that, we could be able to talk to learn a little bit more about your organization and be able to talk about, the different things that you guys do in the community. And I really hope that we can use this information here to get more about Kevin out there, and hopefully people in this community, people in the Jamestown area, people all across Chautauqua County are able to hear this, listen, and, stay on the lookout for Kevin, because it's really important that we get him back.
Yes, we really appreciate your time and getting this out there for us, because we are covering Jamestown. But like we said, Warren's just right up the road. You go up a street and it's from New York to PA that quickly. So absolutely, we appreciate it.
Good morning. You're listening to the Community Matters program on 104.3 Kinzu Country and 92 Gold. Now we're going to shift gears on the Community Matters program, and my guest that's going to be joining me up next is Stacy from Two Moms Media to discuss her upcoming podcast that she's working on called Smoke, The Disappearance of Damian Sharp.
New year, new career. Change your life with a job at Lakeshore Community Services in Warren. It's family. It's caring. It's making a difference for the people we serve. Start at $15 an hour. There's a bonus plan, amazing benefits, and a path to success. Check us out at lakeshorecs.org. New year, new career. It's possible and it's amazing. Apply at lakeshorecs.org. Immediate openings are available right now in Warren. Lakeshore Community Services.
Community Matters on 92 Gold.
Thank you for joining me for the Community Matters program. Good morning. I'm Aaron Mee, and joining me on the Community Matters program today is Stacy, and you are from Two Moms Media?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sorry.
You're fine. So, Two Moms Media, where did you create that, or where did Two Moms Media start?
So December of 2019, I actually started a podcast called Two Moms Day Drinking. It was an interview style podcast, weekly episodes. I interviewed local parents, so moms and dads. Finished that up right around spring of last year. I just couldn't do everything with the podcast, the pandemic and working. So when December of last year rolled around, I decided for sure I was going to do this, and I wanted to create sort of a channel name and a channel brand, so that when this one's done, hopefully we can move on to more.
I really like that. That's really interesting. So now this current podcast is, it's something that I find to be pretty interesting, especially, that it's based around something that happened here in Warren County. So where did this podcast and this story start for you?
Well, it's The Other Mom and Two Moms is my friend Amy. She kind of helps me out with all of my creative stuff. And we just were sitting around one day and talking, and I had been thinking about Damien's case for a long time. But around last February, we decided we were going to sit down and actually talk about it and decide whether it was worth looking into. And so it was just a play date with our kids, and that's how it all happened.
Wow, that's really interesting. So, you know, when you start to think about this idea, how did the idea for this particular podcast start, as far as, like, you know, deciding that, you know, this would be the subject?
Damien was ahead of me in school, but I was aware of him. So it's always been sort of a local legend for me, and one that I grew up sort of steeped in. It was, you know, concurrent with my own growing up. So I've always wondered, I've always had a lot of questions, but never had a real reason to ask. But now that I've got some years of writing and journalism under my belt, I'm more aware of what's available and what questions out of it, but also how to promote it and make it the focus of everyone's attention again. I think it's time.
That makes sense. And so it's really interesting, because this is a case that is, you know, pretty important to understand if you're local and from this area. And from, you know, what I've gathered about this, you know, this is something that would probably pose some challenges to you to do research on. Now, you know, with that being said, when you're looking at this and trying to, you know, take everyone back in time and talk about this stuff, how do you, you know, go through and do some of the research that you've had to do with this?
So I actually spent most of last fall thinking about whether I wanted to. It was kind of a big commitment. I consider it a commitment. If I'm going to take on the story, I want to do it right and make sure that it's not left open-ended. So I spent a few months just kind of thinking about what I wanted to do with it. And then from December of last year, sort of brainstorming it with Amy. And then starting in March, I just started reaching out to people and talking to people and building upon what I already had and the connections that I had and moving on to new ones.
Oh, that's really interesting. So, you know, when you're looking at this, you know, you have to start building personal connections to make that happen. Now, and you mentioned that he had been, you know, in school, you know, around the same time as you, a little bit ahead of you. Do you have any personal connections? Like, when you started this, did you have any personal connections that you could pull from? Or was it, you know, an effort that you had to build to find connections to start there?
That's a really good question, actually. I had none to speak of. I had never even interacted with him. So, and he was 4 years ahead of me, so he would have been just leaving high school as I came in. So what I had to do, and this is the nice thing about working in a small town and working on a legend from a small town or a case from a small town, is that it's really easy to find people who are connected to it just by having conversations with friends and family.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, you know, when you're looking at this stuff, were you able to pull any of the information from, you know, old newspaper filings or things like that, that would, you know, give, you know, exact dates and timelines for some of these things?
Yeah. Exact dates and timelines is hard because there are numerous, and that's part of the problem. But yeah, the first thing I did, or one of the first things that I did, was reach out to Marty at the library and just kind of ask for anything that they had that was tagged with Damien or anything related to his disappearance from a couple months ahead of his disappearance out to, you know, the first, whatever they had. I was surprised actually at the size of the file. It was small. So that instantly became a focus for me, because now I'm not just looking at Damien's case, I'm looking at how did the media work in 2002 and what's changed and how these stories are covered.
You know, and that's a really interesting point that you bring up there, because, you know, when you mention that his file is, you know, a little bit surprisingly small there, it does kind of give you an idea as to, you know, what the media might have had a focus or an attention on back then and how it's changed now. Now, one of the things that I find to be really interesting with that is, you know, just how media has changed from then until now. And so you're able to now use modern technology that's available now that wasn't available then to help you out with some of this stuff. What do you think has been the biggest key there?
Honestly, I think it goes so far beyond technology, or it's so much simpler than technology or resources. It's time. Over the course of 20 years, relationships change. friendships are no longer friendships, sources or barriers to coming forward with information maybe have dissolved, maybe new ones have cropped up, but everything is different. So just the passage of time and the changing relationships of the people involved has been I think it's been the biggest help starting out, getting people to start warming up to the idea.
That makes sense. So, you know, when you're thinking about this and, you know, obviously the goal of this is to get people to start coming forward with more information, presenting this. And so we can, you know, fully flesh out what has happened and you know, get a solid answer on this. Do you think that this is a good opportunity if people were to hear it, that, you know, they can reach out now with, if they were to reach out, who would they be best to reach out to if they were to want to provide information, or, you know, if they think that, you know, they could have information from back then and they hadn't spoken up, what would be advice now?
Well, from my end, what I would say is that obviously this is still an open and active investigation with the City of Warren Police. You know, I would never advocate for someone not calling the police and giving that information. I know that also sometimes people aren't comfortable with that. I've made myself available through Instant Messenger, through Facebook, social media. I have an email that's dedicated to this, and I also have a Google Voice number that's dedicated to this. So if people are more comfortable, you know, they can talk to me about it. There's also Crime Stoppers, which, you know, has been out there since, I think, it pretty soon after he went missing.
Wow. So there are definitely a lot of ways that people, if they did have information, could get in touch. But, you know, like you said, at this point, you know, I would imagine a lot of the people that would have information would have said something, you would hope. But this is a good opportunity that maybe we could jog people's memory with this, right?
That's absolutely true. I think that when it comes down to cases like this, when so much time has passed, you know, it's a benefit in the fact that it changes relationships and maybe situations are different, maybe barriers have dissolved. But at the same time, you're also working against 20 years worth of opportunities that were missed by no one's fault. It's just the nature, no investigation is perfect, whether it's a journalistic investigation or a law enforcement one. So, yeah, I think working against time and kind of jogging people's memory has been really important. But what I find is that the more people talk about it, the more they're like, oh, wait, yeah, I hung out with this person. You know, it just, people start thinking back to the time. And I think that it's going to come down to a really stupid little detail that never seemed like it was even relevant to begin with.
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting is sometimes some of the cases that you find solved are solved by some of the details that you wouldn't imagine would really play into that. Now, so if people want to get more information on this and learn about this podcast, how long has this been, you know, going on for that you've been working on this podcast?
I started actively seeking people to talk to or soliciting information from anyone who, you know, wanted to volunteer it around spring of this year. Since about August, I would say we've had a website. You can leave a response on a form there. You can send an email or, you know, Google Voice since about August.
Wow, that's really amazing. So, you know, if people are wanting to check that out, what would that website be?
It's real easy. It's all words. It's the number 2, but spelled out, 2momsmedia.com, and you'll get straight to the page.
Awesome. And I understand you guys have a Facebook page as well, and that is Smoke, the Disappearance of Damien Sharp, correct?
That is correct. On Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, if you want to find us, it's just at Let's Find Damien.
At Let's Find Damien. Okay, that makes sense. So, you know, that is a really good opportunity for people to be able to check you guys out, see, you know, what you guys are all about if they're on Facebook or any of those other social media platforms. And, you know, then they could take a listen and, you know, learn for themselves what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We do have a trailer out right now. We won't have any more content until coming into launch, which is May 25th of this year. But leading up to that, you know, I'm working with Brian Hagberg at Your Daily Local. We'll both be reporting on this, and we both are working on it. Leading into May, we'll be having some more Damien-related content, I think, on his platform.
Awesome. Well, that's really amazing. We're going to definitely be all looking forward to learning a little bit more about it. And I definitely think I'm excited to hear about it. I'm really excited to see what comes out of it. And you know, I hope everything goes well for you guys. So thank you for taking the time to join me today. I really appreciate it. And I'm glad that, you know, we were able to go over all this information, because it's really cool what you guys are doing. And I'm glad that you guys are able to bring this to light here in the community.
Yeah, we're thrilled to be able to do it. We're thrilled every time that someone reaches out or there's, you know, a warm reception, because, you know, it's a community legend. It affects all of us, just in terms of where we live and our psychological environment. What is 20 years of a missing person do to a community? That's one of the things we're going to look at.
Wow. You know, that is really an interesting topic to think about. So, you know, with that being said, do you think you could summarize some of what people could expect in the podcast real quick?
Sure. So we're heading into production starting after the new year. We don't have any audio recorded yet. We haven't done any formal interviews. We've been talking to people all on background, just gathering information, gathering stories, jogging memories, and just knocking around on doors and talking to people. The first three episodes will launch on May 25th of 2022. In those, we're going to kind of summarize what we know so far, what's on record, what's speculative. And we're also just going to kind of set up our system for speculation and some ethical ground rules for covering this kind of stuff. You know, we're not, it's a documentary, it's not traditional journalism, but there are still rules, and we do still want to handle this in a really ethical and professional way. So we'll be laying some of that foundation in the first few episodes.
Wow, that is really cool. So, you know, if people are interested in finding out more about this, they can go to twomomsmedia.com. TWOmomsmedia.com, or they could check out your Facebook page, and that would be Smoke, the Disappearance of Damien Sharp. And so I really highly encourage you to check that out if you haven't yet. And yeah, thank you for joining me, Stacey. I really am glad that we could highlight some of this stuff.
Yeah, thanks so much for asking us on. We're excited to see everybody in the spring.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click contact.
Hi, I'm Aaron Mee, and I'm inviting you to tune in to Community Matters Sunday morning starting 8:30 a.m. brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services. Join us as we talk through the issues that matter to you right here in Warren at 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning, brought to you by Lakeshore Community Services on Warren's Country Station, 104.3 Kinzu Country.